Blessed feast day of the Ascension of our Lord into heaven. The Paschal candle has now been extinguished. Our blessed Savior has gone home to glory. The angels sang, greeting him in one of the Ascension Psalms, the 23rd Psalm, "Lift up your gates, O ye princes, and be ye lifted up, O eternal gates, and the King of glory shall enter in." Who is this King of glory? The Lord is strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your gates, O ye princes, and be ye lifted up, O eternal gates, and the King of glory shall enter in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Who is this? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, it was 8:15 on Sunday night, and I just got Father Chicago to bed, and all was quiet in the house, and the phone rang. I jumped to answer it, half knowing who'd be calling. "Is this Anthony?" said a woman on the other end of the line, but I know the drill now. It was one of those therapists calling about the appointment the next day, or actually some government or insurance mandated analysis of the situation, evaluation. So I always answer, "This is Bishop Dolan speaking, Father Chicada's caregiver." And then, for good measure, I added, "And I'm happy you called," and I did a little rift about an email she had just sent me. It was just, mind you, to tell me the time of the appointment on Monday morning, but I was invited to enter into the hell of passwords and of entry ceremonies and forms to be filled out just to achieve that information. Well, I told her all of that, and I don't think she was very happy to hear it about her encrypted email. But finally, we settled 9:30, Monday morning. When I was little, my siblings and I were taught by my mother, when someone called, and very often they would say, "Is your mother there?" The first thing, I was taught to answer, "May I say who's calling?" But the proper way, actually, is for the caller to identify himself first. It's remarkable today, educated people, master's degrees and more, who don't know the basics of how to conduct a conversation on the telephone. There was one of my many social workers I've dealt with the last few months, and a very nice lady, mind you, and quite helpful in her own way, who would always disarmingly begin after I said hello, "Who is this?" Odd, isn't it? Here, most people have the phone as their bosom buddy, a kind of a guardian angel or an anti-guardian angel, as the case may be. They use it for absolutely everything except for conversations, or at least proper kinds of conversations. But that question stayed with me for Ascension. Who is this? The angels today, it was around noon, you know, when our Lord went home. The angels wanted to know, who is this at heaven's gate? And one of the Greek fathers of the church, he was the brother of St. Basil, and his name is St. Gregory of Nyssa. He said that when our Lord met the angels at heaven's gate, he spoke to them in their own angel language. And so they were calling out, "Who is this King of glory?" And the answer, "The Lord, strong and mighty, the victor in battle." St. Gregory says, our Lord was sent to earth to fight him who kept man captive in the empire of death, that's the devil, and to restore peace and liberty. Remember that? Peace and liberty on earth. Oh, the angels say, as they hasten out to meet him, opening up the gates with every possible honor. The King of Glory. But a problem develops. He's wearing the lowly robe of humanity. And some don't recognize him. His garments are stained with blood from the winepress of human misery, his bitter passion and death. So once again, the question is raised, who is this King of Glory? But now the answer is not one strong and mighty in battle. Rather, those angels say, it is the Lord of hosts, which means the Lord of armies. He rules the world, as we sing at Christmas time. He's the sovereign, and he reigns from the cross, we sang on Good Friday, drawing all things to himself, having restored everything to its original glory. And he is the King of Glory. Who is this? That reminds me of another question that's asked in the epistle. And it always strikes me as an odd kind of question if you think of it. And of course, we are meant to think about the proper texts of each day's Mass. The apostles want to know from our Lord, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? How odd, after 3 years with our Lord, and seeing him arrested and tried and crucified, and then seeing him risen from the dead, and after 40 days, St. Luke says, of Holy Ghost-inspired teaching, last-minute instructions before our Lord leaves them, after all of this, the apostles are still confused. They're asking if our Lord is going to kick out them Romans and establish again a king on earth, a theocracy for the Jews. They just didn't get it, but that's all right. The Holy Ghost hadn't descended upon them yet. But we could well ask ourselves today a similar question. Lord, when are you going to come and set everything right again, just the way it used to be before the you-know-what? Well, the answer is everything already is restored. Since Easter Sunday, of course it is. But there are still enemies to fight, and you are in the army with the angels. You are, after all, we're thinking next of confirmation, you are, after all, soldiers of Christ, and he depends upon you now. I was reading recently about a very interesting Catholic man. He was an Austrian, a farmer, a married man with a wife and three children during the era of World War II, and he was the only one who refused the oath of obedience to Hitler to fight in his army. And his name is Franz Jagerstatter, and he ended up being beheaded by the Nazis in the course of the war. He quietly opposed the Antichrist Hitler. The propaganda then was so strong, do you know, that when Hitler entered Vienna in triumph after the so-called Anschluss, Catholics knelt down in the street to greet him. So don't be ashamed if you've wobbled a bit with the propaganda these days. After all, that was before the world of cell phones. And Catholic churches then flew swastikas from their steeples. And the clergy fulfilled every law that was designed actually to frustrate their work and to close their doors. This Catholic farmer, who had an eighth grade education, said, "We're not dealing with a small matter, but a great apocalyptic one. A life and death struggle has already begun. Yet in the midst of it, there are many who still go on living their lives as though nothing had changed." How are we to be witnesses to our Lord, as we read in the epistle today, over all the earth, this King of glory? Well, remember, you are. You've received his Spirit, the Holy Ghost. You are his soldier. Again, the farmer philosophizes. Franz Jagerstatter says, "Just as a man who thinks only of this world does everything possible to make his life easier and better, we, too, who believe in the eternal kingdom, were willing to risk everything in order to receive a great reward there. Just as those who believe in national socialism, that would be the Nazis, tell themselves that their struggle is for survival, so must we too convince ourselves that our struggle is for the eternal kingdom. But with this difference, we need no rifles nor pistols for our battle, but instead spiritual weapons, and the foremost of these is prayer. Through prayer, we continually implore new grace from God, since without God's help and grace, it would be impossible for us to preserve the faith and to be true to his commandments." Prayer, joined with, I think, a clear Catholic analysis of what we face today, and of course, finally, the daily virtues. I mean, charity and kindness and patience and generosity, whether it be explaining to someone as best you may what's actually going on, or giving someone just a little bit of a boost of help, any help possible, and certainly the power of your own prayers. But most of all, you must live your faith in an undivided way. How could that be? The simplest way to summarize that is to say, know and live in your family the Fatima message for peace, for scapular, for Saturdays. The family rosary, offering up the little slings and arrows of daily life and the sufferings and the struggles in a spirit of reparation to Mary's Immaculate Heart. Reparation for your own sins, too. But most of all, do not be divided, not anymore. Oh, I don't mean amongst ourselves, there are always going to be different ways of thinking of things and what we should be doing, but I mean, be all for Jesus. That's it. Be all for Jesus. One final Ascension Day quote from this fascinating farmer, who I think has a lot to say to us today. He said, "I can say from my own experience how painful life often is when you live as a halfway Christian. It's more like vegetating than living. 100% then, and don't worry, it's not as hard as you think to answer the question, who is this?" God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.